At that point, Slim Chance climbed out of his hole. He was wearing a grin.
Let not your heart be troubled. I've got a cure for them waspies.
The whole crew took a break and waited to see what kind of cure old Slim had up his sieve. Minutes later, he returned carrying a dishpan filled with something. Water? I couldn't see. Mr. Wilkins drifted over and looked into the pan.
What's that? This is a cowboy wasp trap. Soapy water. The soap breaks the surface tension. When the wasps land on it, they sink and drown. It works.
That simple? How'd you figure that out?
Slim flashed a sly grin. Well, I didn't need a tape measure and a string level. We can start there.
He tapped himself on the temple.
Son, a country boy will survive.
You know what? It actually worked. The pan of water drew every wasp in the neighborhood. When they landed on the surface, they sank like rocks. That was the end of the wasp crisis, and Slim became a hero around camp. As incredible as that seems. And speaking of rocks, at the end of the day, Slim and Alfred had pretty much exposed that rock in the center of their unit. Remember the rock? Earlier in the day, Wilkie had wondered why it was located away from the walls, in a spot where you wouldn't expect to find a large rock. Now that Slim and Alfred had scraped all the soil away from it, Wilkie was even more perplexed. Sitting on the edge of Slim's unit, he tugged on his chin and studied the rock. Why would prehistoric people have left a big rock sitting in the floor, in the middle of their house? Wilkie looked closer. And you know, it's not a normal caliche rock. It looks different.
Slim nodded. It almost looks like, well, a tooth or something.
Yes, but it's way too big to be a tooth.
Little Alfred had been listening.
Maybe it's a dinosaur tooth.
Wilkie laughed.
Around 7 o'clock, the crew quit for supper. Let the record show that after getting off to a shaky start, I had spent the entire afternoon being a perfect dog. I mean, I hadn't dived into any holes, stepped on any Egyptian mummies, stumbled over any string lines, or had any violent encounters with Sardina's brother. I hadn't even cast longing gazes at Doug McGrubber's precious buffalo bone. Although, maybe we should just drop the subject. As you will see, I still had some unfinished business with McGrubber's bone, but never mind. Let the record state that I had notched up a record of perfect behavior and had earned the right to remain in camp for the night, and I'm proud to report that Mr. Wilkins agreed. When the crew quit for supper, he and little Alfred drifted over to the Jeep, in whose shade I had spent the afternoon. Wilkie peered down at me.
Alfred, your dog conducted himself like a gentleman this afternoon. Do you think we can trust him to stay in the tent tonight?
He gave me a hard-edged look. So I did what dogs have done since the dawn of time. I gave him loyal eyes, earnest ears, and slow taps on the tail section, as if to say, all I want in this life is to become the dog you want me to be. No kidding.
I held my breath and waited. Alfred said,
I think he'll be good.
Well, okay. We'll give it a try. He can stay in the tent with you and Slim.
Alfred's gaze went up to the sky.
Okay, but Slim doesn't have a tent. All he brought was a blanket.
Wilkie shook his head. Of course. The cowboy way. Son, if it rains, you'll get soaked. You want to camp with me?
Alfred grinned and nodded.
Yes, sir, because Slim snores. What about my doggie?
Mr. Wilkins gave me a hard look. I held my breath.